This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, the cold weather we're having this week has served as a good reminder that winter is right around the corner. And for livestock producers, that could mean you need to change up your animal's diet. Today we'll hear from someone who's an expert when it comes to feeding cattle, and that's Wes Hornback, who serves as a cattle specialist for Purina. Wes was a presenter at a recent Hamel Co-op meeting, and he has some advice on how you can monitor the weight and well-being of your cattle from the seat of an ATV.
A little bit of my background. I grew up around central Illinois, went to University of Illinois, and reside around there currently. And I cover an area of about three states, Illinois, about half of Indiana, and Michigan. And my main role is a nutritionist for Purina and on the beef cattle side. So I cover cow-calf operations, feedlot operations, anything that pertains to the beef side is my role. So I'll support our local dealers and co-ops and support their producers on any questions that they have pertaining to that.
And you mentioned the local dealers, and that's actually how we got connected through Hamel Co-op. So you do work with them quite frequently.
Yeah. Yep. Hamel's a good customer of ours, and I try to get down there a few times a year and do some cattle meetings, go on some farm calls, help out where is needed on any diets or any questions that they have or their producers have on that side. So.
Sure. Well, and that's, I was talking to you at one of the recent meetings they hosted and what we're going to talk about today. Thinking about the winter months and feeding cattle, we're going to be losing some of that green pasture that we see during the warmer weather. And oftentimes that means we need to supplement with some sort of feed. And this is your area of expertise, obviously. But during that meeting, you talked about something called body condition scoring as a way to really keep track of the health of the cattle and how they're doing with the feed that they're eating. So if you could, Wes, just maybe explain what that is and why that would be important for farmers to do that.
Yeah, so the main thing that I like to say anyway is that body condition scoring is really where everything kind of comes to in the end. So if we have And what that is basically a scoring system that allows us to look at flesh and how fat or thin our cattle are. So we have a scoring system from 1 to 9, 1 being the fattest side, or 1 being the thinnest side, and 9 being the fattest side. What we like to do is target around that 5 to 6 body condition score where we see basically no ribs showing, no spine showing, a good amount of muscle throughout the body, and some fat deposition across the tail head and then over the skeleton. So that's about a body condition score of 6, and that's what we like to target. When we look at that, that basically tells us what kind of feed that we need to do, or rather push them and feed more, or if we're looking at more of a maintenance side and just keeping the right condition on those cattle. So when we look at our hay and what we have available to feed, we like to match our hays to what our body condition score tells us. And that's how I like to do things and work on a ration that's going to fit your needs and fit the cattle's needs as we move forward. Because the thing that we don't want to do coming into winter and coming into that last gestation, if you got a spring calving herd and nutrient requirements start going up about that time, and especially when we get into calving and nutrient requirements really start skyrocketing at that point, because that cow is really trying to take care of milk production and making sure that calf on her side is doing well, and we're trying to get her rebred. So there's a lot of things going on around that time. So the worst thing to do is to not feed the correct hay or supplement, and that cow is losing condition going into winter, and where the environment plays a factor into that as well. So.
And the scoring, that's something I believe you don't have to take the cow out of pasture to do that. You can just simply look at them and kind of assess how they're doing while they're standing in the feedlot.
Yeah, so just for instance, here yesterday that I went on a farm and rode around on a side-by-side four-wheeler and went out to the pasture, looked at cows, and wrote down body condition scores, and basically we did a percentage. So we looked at most of the cows in that herd were between a 4 and a 6, and we did a percentage mark of where those cattle were. Most of them were in that 5 to 6 body condition scores, and so now we changed the ration to where those cattle need to be and fit. So you don't necessarily have to bring them through a chute or move them by any means or put them in a lot, anything like that. Just driving around in the pasture and just taking a look at them and writing down those numbers and then going back into the office and making your tallies and seeing where everybody's at. So by all means, there is no need to do a whole lot of labor in your body condition scoring.
Wes Hornback, who's a cattle specialist for Purina, and we'll continue our conversation with Wes on Monday's Noon Farm Show to find out how you can monitor the quality of the hay that you're feeding those cattle a little more closely. More ag news coming up after these messages. A new report by the U.S. Department of Agriculture released this week shows 99% of U.S. farms were family farms in 2015. Family farms, according to the USDA, are classified as a farm where the principal operator and his or her relatives own the majority of the business. The report shows that small family farms, those with less than $350,000 in annual gross cash farm income, accounted for about 90% of the farms, half of all farmland, and a quarter of the value of production. Mid-size and large-scale family farms, which have at least $350,000 in gross farm cash income, made up only 9% of U.S. farms, but contributed most of the value of production. Over the past 25 years, production has shifted to mid-size and large-scale farms. However, small family farms did produce a relatively large share of two commodities in 2015, and that was 57% of all poultry and eggs, and 52% of the nation's hay crop. In other news, a blog by the Washington Post says if President-elect Donald Trump pursues a major crackdown on illegal immigration, prices of some fruits and vegetables may soar higher. Trump has promised a crackdown on the 11 million undocumented immigrants in the U.S. However, a deportation effort would take workers away from agriculture. Undocumented workers account for 67% of people harvesting fruit and 61% of all employees on vegetable farms and as many as half of all workers picking crops. Ag economists say any interruption in the workforce would ripple through the food system. Some of the effects feared include farm bankruptcies, labor shortages, and high-priced food items. The Washington Post even ponders that a crackdown on immigration could lead to more food imports from other nations, undermining Trump's effort to boost American industry. Still, farm labor accounts for only a small share of most foods, about 1.6 cents of every dollar on average. An Ag Department Economic Research Service economist predicts the impact of stricter immigration policy on grocery costs overall would be very small. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.